just sense heaven's great pleasure at your worship. Jesus looks at his Father and he looks around and he sees the 24 elders on their faces before him. He sees the four living creatures praising and worshiping his Father. And heaven rejoices in the Father. And Jesus is pleased that his body loves his Father. His body worships. That his body understands what is in heaven tonight. Bless you, Father. Bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. The cry of my heart, Lord, is that we will see the Father more and more. And as we see our Father, we will not be able to hold back. But we will rise up in great worship and praise and adoration. That we will gaze upon Jesus more and more. And nothing will be able to stop us. For he's glorious, glorious. And we want to sow into the glory so we can reap from the glory. Our glorious Jesus. We praise and honor you. We bless you. We want to give you more than we've ever given you before. We want our hearts to literally explode with love for you.
Yes, 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 yes.
Just absolutely overflow with love for you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Would you find a seat somewhere, please? Thank you, Dan. That's wonderful, wonderful. Father, this is for you. It's about you, Father. It's not about us. And all we ask is that you will find pleasure in what we're doing here, Father. That whatever is in our hearts, whatever is we express through our lips, will be aligned with you, Father, and with heaven. Amen. And that, Father, your heart will be gladdened. Amen. Father, you will overflow. And overflow from heaven into this place and into our lives, that we will become part of heaven's plan. Just part of the same plan. We want to align ourselves with heaven, not with anybody else, it's just with heaven. Jesus. 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 We love you. We bless you, we honor you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was looking at God's word today and God posed the question, what could he do with a man or a woman who is fully committed to him? What could he do with us? What could he do on the earth with somebody who lives totally for him, who has no separate life from him? You can't put a razor blade between them. It's just totally for him. What would God do with someone like that on the earth now? You know, it is the most exciting time to be alive. I just want to live so much longer. I'm praying for at least another 40 good years. Because the earth is entering into one of the most exciting moments in its entire history. I have never seen such passion and such fire in people's lives like I'm seeing now. Through the whole charismatic renewal, I can't remember that. But I'm seeing lives now that have got a quality that I've never seen or experienced before. And I'm hungry. I'm jealous to see what you guys are going to do. I want to see how this world's going to change because you live in it. I want to see God's glory come down on this earth like never before. And I want to be standing on the sides. I want to be shouting for you guys. And I want to be lifting up your arms. And I want to be asking God for more and more and more for you. Because you guys are called for something so great. Because truly, we are the springboard for another generation. And we have to release you from ourselves to go much higher. But all I ask is, Lord, I want to be here to watch it. I want to see with my eyes what God's glory is going to do on the earth. I want to see it. I'm jealous to see it. I'm hungry to see it. I don't want to miss a thing because it's so worthwhile. My cry in my heart is that God will enable us to raise up a generation of people of all ages, males and females, who are so committed to Him that because He strengthens them, because His eyes range throughout the earth, seeking those who are fully committed to Him, and those ones He will empower to do great things on this earth. And when we look at your lives and we see your lives and we will rejoice and we will be glad, we will overflow, because I'm telling you something, guys, we're going to run into a time coming very soon when the treasures of darkness are going to be given up to us. Where the hardest people who are the most resistant are going to be given up to the kingdom. Where God's unique power and glory is going to change the most resistant hearts. Where you're going to see Muslim people who are one moment wanting to go one way, and they're going to turn and they're going to come to Jesus. They're going to have revelation on revelation of Jesus. You are going to walk in such power and such authority that when you speak, you will reveal the kingdom of God through your words, but also because they're anointed to change lives. You will be able to impart to people what you are going into regularly, and that is the presence of God. And you will bring the presence of God into the earth and into the situations that you encounter. The Spirit of God that is on the inside of you as a carrier of the Holy Ghost will enable you to take this and release it and begin to change the world because you lived in it. We've come to the end of history. We're beginning to make history. We're no longer going to be looking back and seeing what happened. We're going to look forward and see how much history you guys are going to make. You're going to be known as history makers on this earth. People will write about your life. People will make films about your lives because you will be so extraordinary that people will be absolutely overwhelmed by what you have accomplished. And you'll sit there and say, was God, wasn't me. Was just this awesome presence of God that I know about that is ticking in my life and it's flowing out of me. The cry of my heart is we won't stop here. I want you to know, guys, I've got a vision much bigger than this church. We have burns because we have a vision bigger than this church. The burns don't help our church. It costs us more money to run a burn than the rest of the month. But that's a kingdom activity, and that's my heart. I want to go outside this church. I want to go. I don't want to affect a nation. I want to affect a city and a nation and then the nations of Europe, because God didn't call us for a small vision. God didn't call you for a small vision. God didn't call you to sit and have a couple of little happy moments where you'll get a flutter from heaven and say, "Woo, that was great. We can do it again next week." God put a bigger vision on the inside of you, and I'm here to activate that vision. I'm here to call up what is inside of you. I'm here to speak to what's deep, the gold that's deep inside of you, and pull it out of you, because God wants it released now in this season on the earth. God's looking for those who are fully committed to Him, because He wants to strengthen them. He wants to strengthen them with more of heaven than there's ever been on the earth. There's a gathering linguistic expression. Linguistics, if you take one stick, turn it in, snap it and put it in two, it's harder to break it when it's two. By the time it gets to four, it's pretty hard. That's called linguistic. It just increases and multiplies and gets stronger. And you guys are just getting stronger and stronger all the time. It's amazing. You know, I've been looking, forgive me, I'm going to talk about history now, because I'm going to tell you about the kind of history you're going to make. But I've been reading about some of the most amazing people that have lived on the earth, and there have been many, many, and this is just a tiny little sliver of those people. I want to talk about the Moravians. These were people that lived under a guy called Count Zinzendorf in East Germany. And there's a place called Herrnhut in East Germany now, where is God's called, which means God's house, I think. And in that place, There was a move of God that was so extraordinary. There were people that were so zealous for God that for 100 years they prayed nonstop and never stopped praying. And they shifted patterns in the earth. And if you go now and you look at the history and you trace down the roots of some of the significant things that are going on in the world right now, you will find the root going somewhere into a Moravian activity. John Wesley was on a boat coming across from North America back to Britain. And the boat was threatening to be sunk in a storm, and he was terrified. And there were a bunch of Moravians on the ship. And he noticed one thing. Everybody else was terrified, but they were full of peace and they were standing worshiping Jesus. And he went to these guys and he said, "Why are you different from us?" They said, "Because we have no fear. We have nothing to be afraid of." The boat didn't sink. But John Wesley's life was significantly impacted by these guys who were so different on the earth. These guys who never stopped praying day and night. And so God moved in John Wesley's life. And John Wesley came into this nation. And John Wesley had this encounter with God in the city of London where his heart was strangely warmed. And from there, the glory and the power of his life began to flow out of this nation. And we're told that John Wesley was, the churches were closed to John Wesley. He could preach nowhere. In fact, I read a sample of his diary and it talked about, Monday preached here, was thrown out, told never to come back again. And eventually the only place he could preach was in open fields. And sometimes people would set their bulls on him to try and stop him. But when John Wesley preached, the sheer power of his words would cause up to 1,800 people in the hearing of his voice to fall as though dead on the ground, just through the proclamation of the word of God. There was such authority in this man's life who understood what heaven was doing and knew how to bring what was going on in heaven down onto the earth. He started the massive, from his ministry came the massive Methodist movement that literally started going all over the world and probably is still today. And they were known, the original Methodists were known as the most absolutely sold out people on God. There was a deep emphasis on holiness. There was a deep emphasis on worship. There was a deep emphasis on the Word of God. And these people changed this world miraculously. There was one who dwelt in the 1800s in north of England called John Oxterby. He was an illiterate man who had very little education. And he studied to become a minister, and they couldn't give him a church because they figured that he probably wasn't educated enough. And so they found something for him to do, and they sent him to a place called Filey, which is now a town on the northeast coast of England, Yorkshire. And he went out there, and in Filey, it was a fishing town. They had beaten up every single minister that ever come in that town and kicked them out. So John Oxterby went to Filey, and he was seen on the outskirts of the city. And for 3 days, he stood on a field, and he cried out to God. And you could say it better than I could, but it's something like, "You mayna make a fool of me. You may not make a fool of me, God." And he said, "If I go in there, it's got to be because you're going in there." And he cried out to God, and eventually after 3 days, he declared, "It is finished. Filey is taken." And John Oxterby went into Filey the next day, and he walked down the high street of Filey, singing and worshiping Jesus. And hardened fishermen came out of their homes and knelt on the pavement and gave their lives to Jesus, one by one, by one, by one, by one. He didn't preach a word. The glory of Jesus that came out from a man who knew how to access heaven and bring down on the earth what was in heaven and release it on the earth changed people's hearts forever. I love a man called David Brainerd, an American young man, loved God so much, so passionately, and felt called to the Native Americans, this was also more than 200 years ago. And as a young man, he died at the age of 27 of tuberculosis. But he would be seen at night hiding outside a Native American village, and he'd be crying out to God for days on end, crying out, going into the presence of heaven and bringing down heaven on the earth and spitting up blood and coughing up blood with the tuberculosis. And finally, he would go into the city the next day, who'd been indulging in rituals the night before, which were obscene and gross. And he would go into the village. And as he went into the village, men and women would come out and beg him to show them how to get through their burden of sin. At 27, he had left a mark in the world and he'd made history. I want you to make history. I want you to leave your mark on this world because you lived. Go back even further. There was a Scottish man called John Knox. He's famous for several things, but one of the things that stays with me is a statement he made: give me Scotland or I die. His cry to God is, give me this nation or I'm going to die. This cry was so deeply embedded in his heart that he couldn't live without what he believed God had promised him. This man's prayers were so frightening and so awesome that the Queen, Queen Mary, Queen of Scots, said she feared John Knox's prayers more than she feared the Spanish army. History makers on the earth, men and women who have the most extraordinary effect because they live. At the start of last century in Wales, there was a young man called Evan Roberts, not massively educated, but he went to heaven and he brought down from heaven what was there. And this revival broke out in Wales. It was largely kept to Wales because it was all done in the Welsh language. And he brought that nation into a place of such visitation of God, him and the others with him. But it was one more in a long line. He wasn't the only one. There was a long line of people who'd been calling on God, calling on God, calling on God. You see, guys, Dan sang something when he was leading worship. God, we want to make this a habitation for your presence. God wants to dwell amongst his people. But God will only dwell amongst people whose hearts are fully committed to him, who will make a space in their heart and say, God, you can come in here and take over my heart, it's yours. People will say to him, you can come in and you can take over the living room, the bedrooms, the bathroom, the kitchen, the garden. The whole house is yours. And when you move in, you can pick the room you want to live in and you can stay there. And that's my life. And you can decide when we eat dinner and what we're going to eat. You decide what we're going to do because that's what we want to do. And when there are people whose hearts are in that place where we say, God, I live for you now. I no longer live for myself. That's when God makes us a habitation of his presence that stirs and changes this world. Two elderly women in the Hebrides in 1947, appalled at post-war Britain and the lack of what they call church attendance on that island. It was 14 hours boat ride, I think, from the mainland of Scotland in those days. It was a long way off. And they cried out to God, and they were seen to be before God, 4 o'clock in the morning, crying out, God, come and change. God, come and change us. Come and change us. And the Lord said to them, there's a man who's going to come and preach on this island. You had a call for him. And his name was Duncan Campbell. And they went to their elders, and they said to the elders, you guys need to pray because God's got something he wants to tell you. And what happened is, the elders came together and they began to cry out. And they cried out into God in the night and it was just nothing happening, prayer meeting. And then suddenly one of the guys put his hands up and he says, it seems to be like so much humbug that I should be standing here asking God to change a nation when I haven't asked him to change my heart. And then God's glory fell on that farmhouse and the farmhouse was seen to shake and vibrate with the power and the glory of God. And they sent for Duncan Campbell. Duncan Campbell sent a message back to say, I'm booked up for the next year. I can't come. The two old women were told this and they said, that's not what God told us. He's coming. A month later, he arrived on the island. And the most glorious revival started where virtually the entire islands in that area were hugely affected for the glory of Jesus. as the power of God was released and as God spoke into the hearts of people. I tell you guys, God's agenda is not for a short, quick burst of glory where we have a little flutter and a few people healed and people say, "Ooh, I felt the presence of God," and a few people laughed and a few people sang in the Spirit. God is calling us to become participants in a move which is going to transcend this city, this nation, the nations of Europe, that is going to become written about as being the most significant move that God has done in this part of the world. And it's become the preparation of God's people for the end time which will come, where God will bring about the greatest ingathering that has ever been known. I am bored with fruitless evangelism. I am bored with praying for people for healing and then they don't fall on their knees and cry out to God for mercy. I am bored with sharing your heart with somebody and they look indifferent to what you've said and they think you're nuts. That doesn't tie up with what Jesus said. And I'm saying, Lord, what's happened? We got your Spirit on the inside of us. We're meant to be the witnesses of the kingdom now on the earth. What's going on? There's more. You know, I love the Burns. I so commend you guys. I commend all of you. You know, the good part about Burns is all the musicians are coming and asking, can we please do, we've got our next Burn, next Friday, fully booked already with musicians. And they're kind of volunteering. People are contacting us and saying, can I take part in your next Burn? Because there's something going on the earth. There's something happening right now where more and more people are wanting to come to that place of accessing the intimacy of God and accessing the presence of God, because there's something much, much more that there's to be brought onto the earth. I want to see you guys go out. I want to see when Joshua goes on out on the street that people fall on their faces before God and cry out for mercy and say, "I got to get saved. What must I do to get saved, brother? What have I got to do to get saved? What can I join? Where can I come? Where can I go?" Amen. Hallelujah. But what does that require of us? What would it require of us? We're worshiping God once a month for 12 hours. I believe we're going to have to increase. Because we're increasing, not that we can use more of our energy, but that we can pull down more of the energy of heaven into this earth. Amen. I believe we need to increase worship, increase prayer, increase them both so that they both begin to work on the earth. We need to give up being focused on our own agendas of building our own works and looking at our own churches and saying, God is calling forth now a kingdom mindset, a mindset that looks beyond the doors of our church and looks out there. I am so grateful for every one of your lives, but sadly, most of your lives were shuffle growth. They're people who came here from other places, which meant somebody else lost you and we gained you. And then we lost a whole bunch of people and somebody else gained them. And all we're doing is shuffling the cards. We're not actually increasing it. And it's time to increase the cards. It's time for new ones to come in. It's time for the seats to be full of new people who are born again, set apart, have a vision for the glory of Jesus. And look and see, this kingdom's real, because I see something in your life that's not like my life. I'm telling you something, guys, there's a young generation out there that want the authentic, they don't want the make-believe. They don't want the history lesson. They don't want to be told what happened 2,000 years ago. They want to see now. They want to see Jesus in our lives. They want to see Jesus through our lives. Amen. It's time for us to go for much, much more. The stakes are much higher. We're not building a church. We're starting a move of God. We're starting a move that's going to reach Poland so these guys can go there and teach the Omega course. But it's time for us to give up being focused on our own agendas and say, God, what is your agenda for us? What do you want? We want you to move and take over. We want you to make this your habitation. So then what do you want us to do? In every one of those instances, of those few examples I gave you of God moving mightily through people's lives, prayer was the means by which the anointing increased dramatically on their lives. It was prayer and worship together. Prayer and worship together began to shift people's lives. And we ought to bring people into a place of great power and great revelation. I believe the question the Lord is putting to us tonight is, how deep do you want to go? Where do you want to take this? What do you want your life to matter about, to mount to? What are you planning your life to be? Do you want to just get old like me one day and having had a few children and paid off your mortgage and had a few good holidays and then got to the end and said, that's it, I'm hopping off at some point? Or do you plan that your life will have consequence? The fact that you lived was for more than clearing your debt. The fact that you lived was more than just paying off a mortgage. Your life was lived so that you could bring about the most incredible change on the earth because you lived on it. Because you drew oxygen while you were here for whatever number of years. And while you were here, you lived with a vision much bigger than your own life. You lived with a vision which had nothing to do with your education, sex, or race group. Had everything to do with the fact that you were plugged into heaven so strongly and you are fetching down from heaven what will change this earth. Amen. It all starts with vision. It all starts with what are we looking for? Are you looking for something bigger than your own life? Are you looking for something bigger than this church? Are you looking for something which goes out from here and is so different? How badly do we want this? Prayer takes us beyond better meetings. We don't need better meetings. I don't want to get to the end of a meeting at 10 o'clock and people say, wow, great worship tonight. I really like the songs they sing. I actually don't want to hear that. I want to hear that you encountered God and God's kind of moving you into a new place and God's sending you on the street to go and change this nation. I don't want to know that you had a cool meeting. It's great that you did, but we've got to have an objective which is more than a great meeting. Because if all we're here for is a great meeting, I'm out. If this is the kingdom, I'm out. Because it's more than great meetings. They're necessary to achieve things, but it's not the end objective that we're here for. I want to go higher, Lord. Turn with me to Psalm 132, will you please? It's when you hear the cry of David's heart. Not quarter past yet. Psalm 132. David says this to God in verse 3. I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes, no slumber to my eyelids, till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. He's talking about the Ark of the Covenant, which had been captured by the Philistines and then had lived in a guy's property called Obed-Edom's last name. This is before Obed-Edom was the first place. And they went down there to fetch the Ark. And when the Ark had been returned to them by the Philistines, they'd put it on a cart drawn by a couple of cows. And that's how the ark came to them. But God had prescribed how the ark should be moved. The ark should be moved in a very specific way and touched only by the Levites who should slide poles through the sides, through the rings, and that's how the ark, which was the center of God's presence, should be carried. Do you know that when the ark arrived back in Israel and at the home of this guy, I'm going to see if I can find his name for you. But when the ark came back there, Abinadab's house for 20 years. When the ark was brought there, 70 people opened the ark to have a look inside to see what it looked like and dropped dead. God's presence couldn't be trifled with lightly. It had to be honored and respected. Praise God for Jesus' blood. But what happened is they eventually, David wanted to bring the ark to Jerusalem. And the people said, David, we need to make this special. We'll put it on an ox wagon. That's how we saw it arrive. Let's bring it in an ox wagon. And David, put you in your kingly garments before the ark. And as the ox wagon comes into London, into Jerusalem, you need to be showing the procession that you were the one, the king who brought the ark into the nation. And as they were moving this ark along, the God caused one of the oxen to stumble and the cart jostled and a man reached out his hand to try and stop the ark, the covered ark from falling, and he dropped dead as he touched it instantly. Then they took the ark to the man that is Obed-Edom's house. And the whole time there was at Obed-Edom's house, you know what happened? He was blessed. He was not even a Jew. He was blessed beyond belief. His crops were like nobody else's crops. He was prospering in every part of his life for the whole time that the ark was there. And he made the people of Israel envious for what he had been given by God. And they said, we've got to bring the glory of God into the city. And so they went to fetch it finally. And now they stopped saying, oh, we saw the Philistines moved on an ox cart. They now said, we'll move it as God said we move it. And they brought it in as God had required it, carried by the priests, the Levites. And this time when David came in, he removed his kingly garments and he wore the ephod, the linen ephod, a priestly garment. And he was not at the head of the procession. And David danced with all his might as the ark was brought into Jerusalem. Why? Because he understood that bringing the glory into Jerusalem was going to bring the full prosperity that the glory brings when it comes in. And his wife, Michelle, was offended, not because he danced, but that he had unclothed himself of his kingly garments. And God is saying to us today, that if you want to succeed in your kingly role, you first have to succeed in your priestly role. A priest has to minister to God. And David this time attired himself as a priest and worshipped God as a priest. And God made him a great king. And God is asking us today, are you prepared to take on board your priestly role of primarily called to minister to God before you wear your kingly garment, which says who you are and what you do? Were you prepared to become the priest only who would enter into and say, God, I've got to bring your glory here. I've got to go and fetch the glory and bring it here. Because when the glory enters here, it will be so glorious that I will even provoke Israel to jealousy and to envy. And they will say, we want what you've got because you've got what we believed we should always have. It's our job to make Israel envious. It's in the Bible. You're meant to do it. How many of us think they'll be jealous of us tonight? I think we need to make them a lot more jealous than this. Amen. I want to see them full of envy. I want to see their hearts absolutely overflowing. Guys, there is such a great vision for us. James Maloney prophesied, but I just want to look back to what David said here. He said, I will not rest until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Israel. I want to say to you tonight, the only cry on our heart can be, God, what do you want this church to look like? If this is to be your dwelling place, how do you want it to look? What do you want it to do? How do you want it to function? What has to happen here? It can only be as God has required it. It can never be as we thought was a great idea. There's several of us here. If we all were to vote, we'd all got several cool ideas of what the church should look like. But what does he want his dwelling place to look like? What does God say it should look like? And are we prepared to do that? Are we prepared to say, God, it's yours, take it and do it as you want? When James Maloney was here in 2005, in this room, in fact, he prophesied over this church. And he said, through history, it has always been a small handful of people who have brought changes to society. A revival call with a right heart, turning their lives of worship into the salvation of the masses. Can you see the link that God says? Your heart, your lives of worship will equal salvation of the masses. You see where it comes from. It doesn't come from being a good evangelist. It comes from your heart of worship. Releases the salvation of the masses. He wants us to come. This is what God says. God says, I want you to become a habitation set apart for his purposes in the city of London. God wants to make this his habitation. He wants to make a lot of churches his habitation. But what does this church need to look like, Father, to be your habitation? What do we have to do? Then he says, you're to call on the Lord day and night until he establishes his influence here in London through us. You're to call on him day and night, day and night, day and night. He says, through the ministry of praise, worship, and tears, we contend for the release of multitudes through the gates into the city. He says, I make you the keepers of the gates of the city. I make you the ones who say, lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And God has mandated us and commissioned us to that function. He calls us to become those who will establish the Benjamin Gate. Remember, Benjamin was born by a daughter of Rachel. And when she gave birth to him, she died giving birth. And as she died, she called him Ben-Ami, which is son of my trouble. But his father, through faith, said, no, he's Benjamin, son of my right hand. And God says, will you look at the young people? When he sends Cindy Jacobs to say to us, a youth revival's coming, get ready. Amen. Then, what are we to do? Somebody said to us yesterday, if you knew you're going to have a baby, not me. If you knew you're going to have a baby, you suddenly discovered you're going to have a baby, what would you do? You'd start getting a nursery ready. You'd start buying the kit you need to raise a baby, a crib and all the other things. You'd start by getting ready for a baby. You'd start reading books on raising babies. You'd start thinking baby language. Well, in the same way, when God says get ready, it means get ready. Prepare a place. And the place that has to be a habitation of God on the earth. Here, this is the place where God wants to do it. He wants our lives to be habitation of his presence, and he wants our families, and he wants this church to be a habitation of his presence. Is my vision big enough? Is your vision big enough? If your vision is for a little church that ticks over, you're in the wrong place for a start. Because we seriously got to go more than that, guys. We've got to want for more than this. We've been so easily satisfied with so little. We so easily said, God, this is enough. We had a great time of worship tonight, Father. We've done well. We wiped our mouths with our serviettes and said, that was a good feast. But Father, it's not enough. Father, as long as there are unsaved people on the streets, as long as this nation is still rolled the way it is, as long as the evil rampant is going on in this, as long as Islam is outgrowing us in this nation, it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not. I'm not despairing. I'm looking at the answer and saying there is a solution. There is a solution. Bring down the solution onto the earth and let's see what God could do here now in this time. God dwells in the praises of his people. And this is the pattern of heaven. You don't believe it? Read Revelation chapter 4 and see what happens in heaven every minute of every day. There are four living creatures who rise up and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. And every time they do it, the 24 elders fall on their faces and throw their crowns down for him. And the whole place tumultuously breaks out in worship. We say, Father, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's exactly what's going on. That's what you're praying. You're saying, let's have that here. What's going on up there? That's what we want. My vision is that we will have prayer going on all the time. Prayer and worship will be going on. Proclamation going on day and night. Kingdom of God being broadcast all over the city in many ways. But glory, the fire burning on the altar day and night in the city. Never going out where there's a combination of prayer and worship. Tears and harp. Two things working together. God working massively through us. That's where God wants us. God has a big vision and we need to grab hold of his vision. How badly do we want the glory of heaven to be amongst us? Jesus, how badly do we want you? Do you know what some guys in heaven right now at the right hand of the Father, there's one who is interceding nonstop right now for us. Could we think that we don't have to intercede? In Luke 18, he tells us that we've got to pray all the time and never stop. Oh, but what about evangelism? Well, let's do power evangelism. Let's get the power of heaven working so we can see them really saved. Let's not just appease a guilty conscience by going out and handing out some tracts and trying to do some evangelism, but seeing nobody change. Let's see the power to change people out there on the streets now. That's what God is looking for. That's our mandate. That's what we started this with. And it's what we were called to be. We have no other DNA here. Our DNA has to be worship and prayer. And flowing out of that is the power to change a nation. There is no other way, guys. There is no other way. We want to reestablish, reopen houses of prayer all over the city. I want to ask you to pray seriously about making your home available as a house of prayer. To establish an altar in your house and say, our house will become a center of prayer. And on a given night of the week or a given agreed day, people can come to your house because there will be prayer at that house on that day and worship. You don't have to offend the neighbors. You can sing softly. These meetings need to focus on prayer and worship and adoration. Next Friday night they will. 12 hours of nonstop burn. Yeah. Guys, this is where we've got to be. This is where God's called us to. There isn't anywhere else for us to go now. It's the most exciting thing to see what God's going to do through your lives in this season that we live. Laid back lovers of God who change the earth because they live in the presence of God in heaven. Father, I bless you for Jesus. I bless you for all that he has purposed for our lives. I thank you, Jesus, that you have not got one small vision for us, any of us in our lifetimes. I bless you, Jesus, that your heart is that we will fulfill the Great Commission in the power of the Holy Ghost. We want to ask you tonight to come and dwell amongst us. We want to ask you to come and dwell in our hearts. We want you to live in our hearts like never before. We want you to live in all your fullness. We give over our lives to you and we say, you decide, Jesus. You decide. It's not our decision now, it's yours. If we ask you in, we give you the right to decide our lives. Frightening, but Jesus, there's nothing else we can do. I ask you to do that, Lord. I want to ask you to stand with me, guys. Please put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. Release into them. But I want to ask you to do something tonight. I want you to seriously search your heart and say, God, what am I waiting for? What am I longing for? What does my life amount to? Does my life amount to a meeting, or does my life amount to a nation that gets changed? Does my life amount to this city bowing its knee to Jesus? Just pray for each other now. Pray for each other, please. Just release vision, Jesus. Release vision right now. Release understanding in every one of these people. Release vision and understanding. Release clarity and confidence in you. That they will be confident in you, Jesus. They will not doubt for one moment that what you have said you will do. Now release vision. Now release vision, Father. Father. Now release vision. Now release it. If you've been walking around with a little vision for a little happy life, maybe you need to say, God, I just let go of that wrong vision because it was never from you. I take on board your vision, a vision which is infinitely greater than my life. But with the power of heaven, all becomes possible. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for the poverty of my sowing into heaven. But tonight I commit myself to move into a place of becoming a worshiper and an intercessor. That I will give myself day and night to the cry of heaven in my heart. Come and do that, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, expand our visions. Expand our visions. Let us see beyond our lives and the limitations which we've imposed upon ourselves. Take out of us our little visions and release the vision of heaven in us now. Release the vision of heaven. Jesus. I want you to know, guys, that God will not stop till He has all of us. God will not stop till He has all of you. Jesus wants all your life. He wants all of it. All that you are. He wants to be the center. He wants to be the very focus of your life. Your reason for living. Jesus wants to be.